coming up on this episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
This is not just about creating more farmers. This is about creating businesses and programs that will support young people and make them feel really excited about agriculture.
Hey, everyone. It's Dr. Mark. You know, starting off the morning right is such a key piece to feeling great throughout the entire day and getting to do the things that you love. I bet most of you can relate to waking up and needing a cup of coffee before you can feel fully functional. I've definitely been there myself. But I started a new routine every morning, and now it's something I can't wait to get out of bed for. Instead of regular coffee, I've been drinking Four Sigmatics ground mushroom coffee with lion's mane and chaga, and it gives me energy that's much longer lasting, along with a better sense of focus and calm, instead of that jittery feeling and without that late morning caffeine crash. Lately, I've been loving blending up with some ice and cacao powder and coconut milk for a really tasty summer morning treat. Now, I know you might have your doubts about the taste of mushrooms, but I promise Four Sigmatics ground mushroom coffee just tastes like a robust, delicious cup of coffee, and you don't even know there are therapeutic mushrooms that are hiding inside. Lion's mane supports productivity and creativity, and chaga is known as the king of mushrooms and has beneficial support for the immune system. All Four Sigmatics products are organic, vegan, and gluten-free, and every single batch is tested in a third-party lab for heavy metals, allergens, and bad bacteria, as well as yeast molds, mycotoxins, pesticides, and to check for purity and safety. And no worries, if you don't love it, Four Sigmatics has 100% money-back guarantee. So I'm excited to share an exclusive offer from Four Sigmatics that is just for Doctor's Pharmacy listeners. Receive up to 39% off on their best-selling Lion's Mane coffee bundles. To get this deal, just go to foursigmatics.com/Hyman. This offer is only for Doctor's Pharmacy listeners and is not available on their regular website. So go to foursigmatics.com, that's foursigmatics.com/Hyman. This is a really incredible deal, so it's the perfect time to branch out from your regular morning cup of coffee and try Four Sigmatics mushroom blends to enhance your brain power, your energy, and your immunity throughout the day. Just go to foursigmatics.com/Hyman or use the code Hyman to check out. That's foursigmatics.com/Hyman, foursigmatics.com/Hyman. You'll see the full discount apply to checkout. I know you'll love these products as much as I do and feel the boost in your morning routine. And now let's get back to this week's episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
Hi, I'm Kaya Perowit, one of the producers of The Doctor's Pharmacy podcast. The United States has an aging farmer population, and it's been projected that about 40% of the continental United States farm and ranch acreage will have changed hands between 2015 and 2035. So who will be the farmers of the future, and what policies are needed to encourage a new generation to get into farming? Dr. Hyman explored these questions with several guests on the podcast last year. Here he is with chef, restaurateur, and philanthropist Kimball Musk.
Can you talk about what's happening in the farm landscape in America and why we need to bring new farmers into the landscape?
Yeah, sure. No, I spent years working on this problem. What I would do is there's a farmers conference in Iowa where you can actually go and meet with farmers who own most of the... Iowa is mostly smallhold farmers, so average farm size is 160 acres. So you can kind of imagine, it's all sort of, but you could imagine kind of going in and talking to farmers directly, and maybe there's a way to get into the business.
The average farm size in Iowa is 160 acres?
I believe so, yeah. Wow.
That's the homestead size.
Well, there is a rule in Iowa, you're not allowed to own, no corporations are allowed to own farms in Iowa. So it's, even if you wanted to create a conglomerate of farms, you'd have to do it by yourself, not as part of a company.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a couple of rules like that that keep the farms, on average, well, there are plenty of big farms in Iowa, but they are owned by one person or one family. And I think it's you're allowed to have only up to 40 family members or even allowed to own it. So if you have a big family, eventually you've got to figure out what to do with your farmland.
Wow.
Yeah, so a lot of rules in place that actually make it possible for people to get into farming. And also to protect it, to be a small family business idea. So it all sounds good, but the problem what I found was you go to the conference and the average age was not 58 or 59, which is what people say is the average. The average age was more like 82.
Really? Just being facetious.
I'm not being facetious. In Iowa, 60% of the farmland is owned by people over the age of 79.
What?
So if you go to Iowa to actually purchase land or get into the business, you're negotiating with an octogenarian, and you, what I discovered was, you know, I'm a, you know, immigrant, South African, maverick, whatever you want to call it, with a cowboy hat coming in to, you know, chat with these farmers, and I'm negotiating with an 85-year-old late grandma, and she it just didn't go well. Let's put it that way. And what I found was that they have this enormous emotional attachment to their land. What they want is their kids to farm it, and they want is their grandkids to farm it.
But they're not doing it.
And they're not doing it because the business sucks.
Well, the average income of a farmer is?
Well, if you have a 100-acre farm in Iowa in a good year, which we haven't had a good year for a few years, you'd make $22,000. So if you imagine you're a young farmer.
And the average income of most farmers is negative $1,500.
This past 2 years, in 2 years in a row, it's been negative $1,800 for a 100-acre farm.
Yeah.
So it's just been a disaster. In fact, we have the worst year for bankruptcies in a generation this year in amongst farmers. Almost 600 farmers have gone bankrupt, and it's just awful. And so the reason is because they're so emotionally attached to the land. They want their kids to farm it, and as a result, the kids don't take it over, and most farms are bought through estate sales. So you someone passes away, and then the family doesn't want it. That's how you can acquire land and go into farming. And man, that's just too depressing for me to.
You wanted to go outside of Chicago and buy 10,000 acres.
Yeah, the idea was I'd get 10,000 acres. The problem is you have to buy a 160-acre piece of land from a farmer when they pass away. And then you have to wait for all of your neighbors to pass away to get.
You'll be 82 years old.
Exactly. And so that you just look at, you run it and you're like, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
And of course, that's why there's no innovation in this space because the farm owners are aging quite. And bless their heart, I mean, they're not doing anything wrong. They're doing what the government's telling them to do. It's just that what the government's telling them to do is kind of stuck in the past.
Young people who do want to become farmers are typically faced with a number of barriers to entry. However, there is innovation happening in this space. Dr. Hyman also spoke with Tobias Peggs, who co-founded a Brooklyn-based urban farming company with Kimball Musk called Square Roots. Square Roots is known for changing the way people think about growing local food and training the country's future generations of farmers.
You're raising up a new generation of farmers that is absolutely essential because in this country, the average age of farmers is 58 to 60. People are aging out of farming. There are really very few supports for young farmers to enter the marketplace. The land acquisition costs are so high. The land has become financialized because corporations have bought it off because it's actually got more land value than agricultural value. Mm-hmm. So we're really in a situation where young farmers have a real barrier to entering the market. But you created a whole program. It's called Next Gen Farmer Training Program that allows you to bring in people who want to be part of the solution and create a career out of it.
You're right. You know, at the beginning of the pod, you were articulating the issues with the industrial food system, right? Chronic waste, terrible for the planet, you know, all of these things, pollution, diabetes, you know, 70% of our food has got pesticides in it. This is all horrific. And then this extra topic that doesn't get as much airtime as it should is this demographic time bomb that's about to go off, right? If the average age of a farmer today is 58, like, who's going to grow the food in 5 or 6 years' time when they retire? It's like frightening. But, you know, to your point, very, very hard then for young people to start a career in farming. Our fundamental thought, though, belief really was that it's the farmer that's at the center of the system, right? The person that's willing this plant to come to life that just makes it taste better, right? It's like when you're cooking, right? You
put vitamin L.
Exactly. So we had to figure out how do we provide a pathway for, you know, young people to come in and learn how to be farmers, right? Provide that love in the system. But we also wanted to do that in a way that was creating a positive social impact on the world, right? How can we empower and educate and inspire and get more young people into this local food movement? They can spend, you know, 12 months with us, 24 months with us. And then when they graduate and they leave Square Roots, you know, are they now inspired and do they have the tools and are they ready to set up their own local food companies right? Because the more of us working on this local food revolution, the better, right? So that was kind of the genesis of, okay, what can we do here to bring more young people into the industry?
So great. It's so important because we do have a crisis in farming and agriculture, and we're trying to shift. And there's so many movements. There's regenerative agriculture that is really defining a whole new way of thinking about growing food that restores the soil, that reduces carbon in the environment, that preserves water, that reduces chemical inputs and fertilizers. These are all really essential activities.
In addition to business innovation, policy supports are also needed to bring in the next generation of farmers and beyond. Danielle Nierenberg, co-founder of the nonprofit Food Tank, spoke about this in her conversation with Dr. Hyman.
One of the things I'm so excited about is, you know, since I was in graduate school, there's this whole generation of young people who want to be in farming and the food system in some way. So you mentioned the challenges they face. It's really hard for new farmers or young farmers to get into farming. They lack access to land. They're coming burdened with a lot of student loan debt. They don't have things like insurance. If we can create, you know, policies and programs that help mentor those young farmers, give them business skills, forgive some of their debt, help provide them with, you know, insurance, and give them the resources they can to succeed, I think that would be really exciting. There have been some wins by the National Young Farmers Coalition in states like Minnesota, where land is being transferred from farmers who, you know, want to retire to younger farmers, so that they can start on the right foot and get the mentoring and business skills and education that they need to do better. And I think, you know, this is not just about creating more farmers. This is about creating businesses and programs that will support young people and make them feel really excited about agriculture.
In his most recent book, Food Fix, Dr. Hyman proposes creating a federal farmer corp to enlist a new generation of regenerative farmers. This program would help them overcome financial and education barriers and provide training and funding to access land. If you'd like to learn more about these topics, I'd encourage you to check out Dr. Hyman's full-length conversations with Kimball Musk, Tobias Peggs, and Daniel Nierenberg. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider sharing it on social media or sending it to a friend. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Hyman. Thanks for tuning into The Doctor's Pharmacy. I hope you're loving this podcast. It's one of my favorite things to do and introducing you all the experts that I know and I love and that I've learned so much from. And I want to tell you about something else I'm doing, which is called Mark's Picks. It's my weekly newsletter. And in it, I share my favorite stuff, from foods to supplements to gadgets to tools to enhance your health. It's all the cool stuff that I use and that my team uses to optimize and enhance our health. And I'd love you to sign up for the weekly newsletter. I'll only send it to you once a week on Fridays. Nothing else, I promise. And all you have to do is go to drhyman.com/picks to sign up. That's drhyman.com/picks, P-I-C-K-S, and sign up for the newsletter. And I'll share with you my favorite stuff that I use to enhance my health and get healthier and better and live younger longer. Now back to this week's episode.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Just a reminder that this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Practitioner database. It's important that you have someone in your corner who's trained, who's a licensed healthcare practitioner, and can help you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.